If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, we are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to medical issues based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me start our episode with this question, Sheikh. What is required of a woman in labor, and what is required of the female nursing staff insofar as the
uncovering of and looking at the genitals of the woman in labor are concerned?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it's not permissible for the nurses to deliberately look at the private parts of a woman when she is giving birth to a child. And of course, it depends on whether it is necessary to look or not. If it's not necessary, it is not permissible for a woman, even if she is a nurse, to look at her private parts. So the same goes for the doctor, who should avoid looking at the body of the patient or touching it unless it's necessary. So generally speaking, here the criterion is the necessity, that is, that makes it permissible or impermissible for the woman or the doctor to see the body of a woman while giving birth or the body of a patient. As for the woman, she should do her best to cover herself if she is aware, you know, because you asked about the woman herself who is expecting and who is actually going to a hospital, giving birth to a child. So she also can take precautionary measures by going to, first of all, it is essential for her to go to a female doctor in the case of when the female doctor is available, when she can do the job. And as long as there is a female doctor, she cannot go to a male doctor. Of course, we see that in European countries, in America, for example, it's the decision rests with the pregnant woman to go to a male doctor or a female doctor. Of course, as a Muslim woman, she should not go to a male doctor. And of course, when going to a female doctor, she should also cover herself properly if she is able to do so. And also, she, if there are other people around her, she can ask them to help her with the childbirth and covering her body, especially her private parts.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay. In the course of the study, medical study, and it's training or the training in medicine, we all know that they use some models, some plastic models, you know, configuring or featuring the human reproductive system. What is the ruling in this regard, or in the matter of handling these mannequins or models and looking at them?
You're right. Well, artificial organs and artificial genitals do not have the same ruling as the real ones. So there's no objection to looking at such, organs or touching them and handling them unless, there is a questionable intent. If the intention is to seek pleasure, and if it leads to arousing one's sexual desire, for example, then it's not permissible. As long as the intention is to just gain knowledge, to see the different parts of a woman, or let's say, because it represents a woman's body, that those artificial thing, genitals or organs. So it depends on the intention, and if the intention is to just learn something and there's no intention of seeking pleasure or, falling into, and there's, it doesn't entail falling into a sin, there is no problem.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah. Oh Allah, don't let me
go astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Chobidar, guest speaker. Well, we are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the medical issues based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Chobid, somebody asked, as a doctor, my research within the Western scientific circles aims at relieving pain by way of music, touching, dancing, medication, and electric shocks. Medical opinion points to the fact that the research in these types of therapy has proven fruitful. Is it permissible to embark on the same road?
There is no Shari impediment or any kind of barrier to investigating this affair to see how effective it is in treating illnesses, provided that it does not entail getting entangled in practices which are haram. So basically anything which helps relieve the pain, whether it's music or touching or, you know, any other kind of medication or even electric shocks, are allowed as long as it does not lead to any harm or it does not lead the person into falling into haram things. Mm-hmm. So it is permissible.
Is it permissible for female nurses to look at a woman's genitals if their study requires it?
Well, if the treatment of diseases or saving a respectful person's life depends on taking a lesson which includes looking at the private parts of others, there is no problem in doing so. Because at the end of the day, we need some experts. We need to have such experts who are competent enough and who are able to undertake surgical operations. And of course, it's not possible to achieve such expertise or specialty in medical fields unless one, you know, touches or sees the, let's say, the private parts of another person's, you know, body. And it's not possible to gain the skill unless one practically touches or opens up the different parts of a, you know, dissect even the different parts of a, let's say, of a non-mahram's body. And of course, it is important for the prosperity, for the of the Islamic society, and also more importantly to save the life of a person who is respectful in the eye of Islamic Sharia.
Mm-hmm. Sheikh Javed, is circumcision obligatory? We know that some religions in fact endorse it.
Okay, well, circumcision of boys is obligatory in itself, and as a condition for the validity of tawaf also it is required, because one of the essential conditions of tawaf or circumambulation is to be circumcised. Mm. And of course the hajj or the pilgrimage will not be valid unless one is circumcised, because a person who is not circumcised cannot walk into the premises of the mosque, the Masjid al-Haram, and actually engage in tawaf, whether it is tawaf of the obligatory hajj or tawaf al-nisa. So one of the requirements of the obligatory hajj or the tawaf actually is to be circumcised. Now, for example, even people, non-Muslims who convert to Islam, if they want to perform this, the pilgrimage of the house of God, the Kaaba, they have to circumcise themselves, otherwise their hajj or pilgrimage will not be in order.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Ashabi. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Until another program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سميع محيي المؤمنين.